Hey,
Going on?
my goodness, my phone's out of order. It's like I can't do anything when I can't use my phone.
First of all, sorry, I didn't see your message.
Oh, that's fine. Just uploading an audition, it's taking forever.
I auditioned for something and it wasn't even for me. Like somebody was like, hey, Allstate's looking for, it's like an open casting. I never even do that, but I was like, screw it, I'm just gonna submit myself. So I spent like all Friday like making this stupid audition, and it was like you have to like play two roles. So I had to record myself one way, then another way, but it was like two different auditions. So it just took me all day. And you forget how long these auditions take. And this is so unrelatable, anybody watching, but like it takes so much time if you want to do this, and you just throw it into the space vacuum, and you have to just forget about it. That's just
Sure. The only way you know that you're on the right track is if the same show or the same casting director is calling you back for other stuff. Other than that, you just don't hear back anymore. There used to be a day where the market wasn't oversaturated, where your agent or manager would hear back, like, oh, hey, Darren did an amazing job, but we decided to go in another direction. Or he was one of our final three, and we decided to go in another direction. So, but we just don't hear that anymore. Poor us.
I don't even want to hear that though. Like, why even tell me? Because then you just get pissed off. By the way, when you first popped on screen, I imagined Dallas for some reason. Who's that girl from Dallas back in the day? Actually, she's old now, but with the black hair. Or Dynasty.
Do I look like that? Do I look like I need to be on Dynasty?
Yeah, who's this very famous actress in the 80s with black hair? I can't remember her name. Joan Collins.
Collins. Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you look like Joan Collins back then, not now. Boy.
Yeah, thank you.
I kept reading these articles about Justin Timberlake's comeback. Did you see this? Like, I guess he hosted SNL yesterday, but I'm only bringing this up because it does seem like Justin Timberlake was part of our generation of like 2000s. And they were like, oh, this middle-aged guy's trying to make a comeback. And I was like, oh my God, how fast does time move?
But
Where,
he's middle-aged.
yeah, he's
It's
middle-aged and he's
how
considered
old
old.
is he? How old is Justin Timberlake?
It's got to be what, 40 something, right?
Perhaps. He's a dad, right?
I don't know, maybe.
I think so.
Do you think having a family makes you more well balanced to be in showbiz?
Ooh, that's a good question. I absolutely think it does. If you're an actor, yeah, because now you've opened yourself up to this whole new world of emotions and things that you can go into and grab from. So, yes, any life experience, having a family, having loss, traveling makes you better in the entertainment industry as an actor. I think that musicians, if they're on a roll and they stop to have a family, some of them have just fallen off the planet by doing that.
Did you ever date any famous musicians?
Did I date a famous musician? No. I was in a Justin Timberlake music video though.
Was he nice?
Huh? He was very nice, very professional. Yeah, it was a long day. Music videos are hard work.
Did he force you to get an abortion like he did the Britney Spears?
No, unfortunately. I wasn't that gal. Did he force Britney Spears to get an abortion? Is that what
Well,
she said?
that's what she wrote. Don't quote me on this, but I think she wrote that in her memoir that she got pregnant. And I don't know if she said Justin Timberlake, but I think it's insinuated that it was Justin Timberlake who pressured her to get an abortion. Again, I don't want to be defaming him, but do your own research, Google it if you're watching this. But I think it's something along those lines that kind of just tarnished his squeaky clean Disney image.
But you think it was him or her people? Oh, that's what you think tarnished it?
Well, it didn't help. I don't think, because Justin Timberlake was a guy from the Disney Channel, right?
Yeah, they were all on the Mickey Mouse Club. Him, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears. Like, yeah, I think like two of the NSYNC guys. The Mickey Mouse Club was they were like on the dance team for that. I guess I wonder what the comparison would be now. Is there still a Mickey Mouse Club? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. But I do think having a young start does put you in a different category of of actors. Like, I do think those people are more messed up, but they're
Oh,
better
for sure.
prepared. They're be and they're better actors too. I mean, let's face it, they're trained.
Well, when you're a kid, acting is second nature. You can pretend anything is real. You're in the world of make-believe. So it's very easy to just take a situation and pretend like it's happening. But it's also dangerous because you do that. You make it real. You don't know how to differentiate between reality and non-reality. And that is emotionally taxing.
This commercial once, and Fred Savage was directing it, and seemed like the nicest guy. And then, literally, like 6 months later, all these things came out. Like he's like insane, just like yelling at people. And I think he kind of got canceled.
I remember that too. I was
And
like,
then, oh, then a story came out that there was problems with him on set of Wonder Years between him and the mom. So you wonder if that's because he is an insane person, or because he was a child star, it made him all screwed up. I
I
mean,
think it's a combination. If he was a child star having issues with the mom on set, I don't know. There's always more to the story than we hear.
yeah.
Always. I wanted to ask you, do you think celebrity is dead? Like, in our days, there was the big celebrities, it was like Mel Gibson, Julia Roberts, or Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, and everybody idolized the big celebrities. Do you feel like that's still a thing now, or is
Oh,
that dead?
absolutely. I think there are still major celebrities out there, just few far between. But now there's it's like many celebrities within their own world, thanks to YouTube and TikTok. So like, you're famous in your own ecosystem. Like I went to Dan Tanis. It's like this fancy restaurant on Santa Monica. It's such a tight. It's basically like this really exclusive Italian restaurant, but they only pack in like 45, 50 people there. Really small. I don't even know how I got in, honestly. I think I just called and it was just me and a friend. And the guy from Just Shoot Me was there. There was another famous the guy Enzo something, I forget. Not David Spade, the actor, the photographer guy in Just Shoot Me. Anyways, he was there, like a famous writer was there. And then Jon Hamm was there. And you could just feel like the energy shifting towards Jon Hamm because it's so tight. And then as he walked out, everyone was like, oh, Jon Hamm. You could just feel that, like, because he's like an A-list star in Hollywood. So it's such a difference between that and like a YouTube star who I've been around these guys in comedy clubs. But when these A-list guys walk in, you're like, man, that's the guy from that show, which you see, or these Top Gun movie, whatever the hell he's been in, you just it's like a presence they have, which maybe it's psychological.
Do you
So
think it's like, but do you think that the 20-year-olds were thinking that, or
well,
just
there weren't any 20-year-olds in the restaurant. It was all people my age. So you're right. Maybe it's not as impressive to them because they grew up on TikTok and cell phones.
I don't think they're into celebrities anymore. I think our generation, yeah,
Yeah.
we're keeping it alive, but I think the younger people are a little annoyed with celebrities. And if you just look at your streamers, like Netflix, Amazon, like pop on your streamers, Paramount. There are so many shows and so many movies that how can you be famous? It's like the difference between going to a small high school where there's the popular crowd, right? There's the popular crowd and then the scholastic kids and then the goth kids. But when you enter into a giant high school with like thousands, or you get into college, you can't have those cliques. Those cliques don't hold stature. And so the market is so saturated with stars and people on TV. Like there are people on series regular TV shows right now that I wouldn't know if I ran into them
Yeah.
because I can't get around to watching all the shows.
Well, you're right in the sense of this is in 1985 where there's like four networks where you know who like Michael J. Fox is or the Kirk Cameron,
Yeah, that's
whoever.
what I'm saying. Is that dead? I think it is.
Definitely. I mean, they're not well known. And also, TV shows don't last the way they used to. When we were growing up, there was like years that go on. Now it's like you're lucky you get two seasons.
Exactly.
Would you want to be a celebrity, like fame like that?
No, I don't think the celebrities want to be. what celebrity brings, because you no longer have a private life and you can no longer just go run an errand. And I think that's why they all end up living in certain cities where they can kind of do that, but then they still can't because there's photographers following them. And I think that kind of life is really hard. And it's hard to raise a family in that kind of life. So I don't know that I would want celebrity status, but I don't mind people being familiar with a body of work that I've done. But
But isn't
chasing me down the street, like the Kardashian status, no.
yeah, they're like next level fame. But isn't that the trade-off between working and making money? Because I feel like you have to be sort of famous to get projects moving, to be in demand. Even if you're not an actor like Kardashians, like they're selling their makeup brands, whatever they're doing. Like it's almost like this. You got to sell your soul to the devil and give up so much of your life to work. Because otherwise, you're considered, oh, like Justin Timberlake. You know, he's not on TV. I'm sure, he's trying to get back into the limelight. But you know what I'm saying? There's like this trade-off, like yin and yang thing to it.
Yeah, I think there is. And I think at the higher levels, I think there is some sort of, deal that they've made, or inside of them, they've decided, okay, I'm going to give this up for this.
Did you feel that in the room when you auditioned? You were like, I'm not going to get this.
I think there was a lot of self-sabotage. In hindsight, I look at how much self-sabotage there really was. I did do that to myself.
Isn't that crazy? Like, I've done that too in rooms. Like we get in our own way. In fact, I keep telling myself now, I'm like, just don't get in my own way. Like, just show up and don't mess this up. But for some reason in our 20s, it's like we can just. That's why you need people. I've read so many bios of people just getting shoehorned into roles. Like they don't even audition where they have the opportunity to get in their own way. They're just kind of just like put like, we're just gonna give you this part and then they just figure it out. That's so much easier versus having to go through this rigmarole of auditioning and callbacks. I mean, it sucks.
It really sucks. Auditioning is the hardest part of acting and the part that will drain you the fastest. And yeah, I actually like the self-tape situation. And I've had a few auditions now because of the new SAG-AFTRA contracts where they're like, would you rather do a live Zoom, or you have the option to self-tape or schedule a Zoom time? And I'm like, oh, self-tape.
Self-tape all day, baby.
Yeah, why would I do it on Zoom? I don't know. I want to be able to be in my creative space without someone else's energy there necessarily. I'll be in the Zoom room when there's a callback.
Yeah, that's fine. Look, I get that. It's like, in fact, I have my background. You can see in the background. I have the same thing you have. By the way, I think because of you, I have that background because I was expecting to be like auditioning like crazy. So I got that. So now I use that for like my hosting stuff because I host a lot.
It works. I went through many other colors before I settled on this color. I had like the bright blue, the bright green, then I had beige, and then I had like this baby blue. And this is the one I pop off the best, I feel like.
Yeah, I just got mine because I was trying to copy you. But it also has like a lighter side to it too, in case anybody wants to buy Zoom a background.
Yeah, I remember sending you the link. It's not expensive. You just got to get your setup done, but you got to be willing to invest, because if you're new to the industry and you're turning in self-tapes and you haven't made them professional, or you don't have a professional headshot, nobody's going to take the chance on having you on set where they're spending hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars,
Yeah.
and you're green. It's just not going to happen. So just step it up. I have this conversation with actresses and they don't want to get the stuff. And I'm like, just do it. It's going to set you apart, or you're going to look obviously green.
Do you help out a lot of younger actresses, like on your own? Why?
Because I wish that someone had done that for me.
It's so funny you say that because I used to say the same thing. That's a quote, by the way. Be the person that you wish you had in your own life. I forget who said that. But so I would do that. And then I realized that people just take, like they just take. And then I feel like they're like energy vampires where they just keep coming back. Like if you give an inch, people take a mile. Maybe it's different in Texas. So now I just cut it off. I'm like, the drawbridge is up. To have access to me is exclusive, right? Honestly. So I stopped doing that for people. Like I stopped. People would call me and offer me money to talk on the phone. Like, hey, can I talk on the phone with you? And I was like, I'll just call you for free. We can just have a conversation. But then I realized everyone's just trying to move up this ladder here in Hollywood. And I don't know, that's my take. I try not to be as helpful to as I used to be.
You're right. I have encountered some energy vampires. I've encountered people that I've spent a lot of time on, and then they just disappear. They've moved on to the next person. But I am a little bit more picky with vetting these people now. And the current people that I'm helping, they're really good people. I really want them. I want to see them succeed.
You're too nice.
I am. I am. I need to be mean, but that's never been part of my makeup.
This is another thing because I just had this conversation yesterday with a friend. The people who you know who have gotten famous, have they turned around and helped you in any capacity? That's a no, your hesitation.
No,
And
none of them.
okay,
And
one.
I'm not going to ask them because they know, they see me, they know that I'm doing this. Like, it's interesting.
So why do you think people don't help? And this is not an Indian thing. This is just a normal thing in Hollywood. Because I was talking to a friend of mine about comics I know who have made it, and they just don't look back.
Well, I mean, I also haven't asked. So I haven't asked, so that's A. And I think that they haven't offered because maybe they just haven't seen the perfect thing for me. I think that a lot of Hollywood casting is just being looking right for the part.
Yeah.
They're looking for that person who looks right, or it's about who you know, and who you know as in the powers at be that can actually cast you. The people I know that have made it have been other actors. I don't really think it's up to them to get me the job. I don't think they can. I know some casting directors, and I do know some directors, but again, I don't think that they're the only one pulling the trigger on who gets cast.
Yeah, I think maybe it's different in the acting world of like I think I come more from the side of comedy where I don't know, I just feel like I know a lot of exec producers and it's like it's so easy just to I think it's easy to let someone open for you on the road as a comic or if you're staffing a show, hey, I have a writing job. But then I also think it's up to me. Which is like the whole ego thing of like, I've got to self-generate it myself.
And just ask.
I mean, I should ask you to ask for me. Like, hey,
Okay.
Shaka's gonna ask for me.
I will. Maybe that's what it is. You not have a manager for comedy. Is that not how the comedy world works?
Oh, no, managers do help a lot, but it's hard to get a good manager, like one that has juice. Have
Got it.
you ever tried to stand up?
I know I haven't. I was at the Groundlings, but that's not stand up. That's improv. But I always thought I would go to the Ice House and take their course and do at least write one stand up, but I just never got around to it.
I think I told you, or at least had a conversation behind your back, where I was like, Shazia should do stand up and I should just write her act and then I can just coast on her. Because I would just see these girls, right? Not saying girls are not funny, but I know some girls who are not funny. And they would have someone, I assume somebody wrote their 5 minutes or 6 minutes, and they got so much heat off of it. And then they would just do stand up to get to another level and then stop doing stand up. And I was like, well, Jesus Christ, I should just find somebody to tell my jokes. And
Well, you should have told me. We could have done that. I mean, I'm down.
Yeah, I just never, I don't know why I didn't approach you. Maybe I was like kind of 50-50 about it, but it's also an investment. I mean, to ask you to go to comedy clubs, I mean, that's just the whole, yeah, I don't know if you could have dealt with that, honestly. It would have been horrible, like drudgery, going to these clubs and these guys hitting on you left and right. Guys are animals, especially the comics, like they're absolute the worst.
Yeah, I don't know if that's my scene. I also don't drink alcohol.
You don't drink alcohol, really?
I haven't in a long time.
That's different than I haven't. Wait, so when was the last time you haven't when was the last time you had alcohol? Like 2 hours ago.
haven't in a long time. It was last Sunday. No, it's been years. I think as I've just gotten older, I realize that I don't really like alcohol. I mean, I've never been a big drinker. I can count on my one hand how many times I've been drunk. And I always feel horrible the next day. I always get terrible sleep that night. Like even if I drink, I can pass out on a half glass of wine, and then 2 hours later I'm up and I cannot sleep the rest of the night. So it just wasn't working out for me. I like my sleep too much. I like working out. I like having my next day not ruined. And it just isn't a match for my body composition. I don't have anything against alcohol. It just doesn't work for me.
Even in your 20s, you didn't drink?
I did drink in my 20s, but I was never the girl who, I was always the designated driver. Those are my friends listening, you know. I was always leaving the party early. So, yes, the Playboy Mansion, I did not stay until even midnight. I was always out of there at like 11, because I wasn't drunk or doing drugs. So, it just never was a match for me.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way, but I would drink when I'm around girls because I was like, it's easier to get laid, let's be honest. It's just when you're both drunk, it's just like, okay, great. Now we're both trashed. But that worked better in my 20s versus 30s because I was like, now I drink more out of sadness.
Oh, that's not
But I barely touch alcohol. I seriously, I'm drinking water right now. But
Yeah, I feel like in all the years that we have been friends, it's not like we've ever really drank together. I don't remember a time seeing you really drink.
well, did you come to my 30th party? My 30th birthday party? I know I invited you because I put you on the advertisement. I put Shazia Dean.
You'll be there.
Yeah, I did. I made this whole ad video about it because I got blackout drunk. Oh, it's the only time I've gotten blackout drunk.
Where was it? Were we at a karaoke bar?
I started at Bugsby's.
I might have been there.
I don't know if you came because when I did, you know why I made that ad? I invited, because that's when DCOC was pretty big, and I invited everyone from DCOC and all these random Indians showed up. And a lot of them thought you were going to show up. I remember that, and you didn't show up. You might have been busy.
I'm
But
sorry.
then that's okay. And then we went from like, we just jumped around, and then I just clocked out somewhere on two at Denny's
Wow.
or something.
Yeah, I never saw that. You know what it was? The year, or we're the same age, right? Are
Yeah,
you?
I mean, you're like a little bit, a few
You're
months
your
older.
older, or you're
Yeah.
younger than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a rough time for me. I was a little brokenhearted.
You want to share what happened?
I had a boyfriend who one day left to get an oil change. And I never saw him again.
You told me this.
So we call him Oil Change. He
Maybe
did reach out to me 15 years later.
he's like, I finished the oil change.
The car turned out okay. I mean, wow, it was rough. It was a really hard breakup, but it made me a better person. So cliche.
There had to have been a sign, though, right? I mean, leading up to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not a sign that he was going to leave on oil change, but a sign that perhaps we would have a conversation and the relationship wasn't going where we both wanted it to go, and that maybe we could part ways and be amicable and still be friends until we found other partners or something like that. That was where I perhaps saw the conversation going, not, I got to go get an oil change. Okay, I'll make us dinner. I mean, we shared a beautiful home together in Silver Lake, like a tri-level home overlooking the lake, and look like a Restoration Hardware Pottery Barn had exploded inside the home. Like, we were living like a married couple, and that was it. He just left. He left all his stuff there. His clothes were hung up in the closet.
Did you call the police?
I didn't. I called his mom, and they let me know he's safe. He's just going through something. They were all very sorry, and I thought, okay, maybe he just needs time and space. And then, like, a month went by and I moved out.
Were you both on the lease, or did you move? Was he on the lease?
We were both on the lease, and I let the owner know, and she had been in touch with him. So I left everything half. I did halvesies on everything. And took what I would fit in my new apartment and started my life again.
See, that's the beginning of like a movie or something.
Yeah. Ooh, it was crazy. But yeah, he recently got in touch again and apologized. So there's that.
Well, I think everybody goes through. You need that hap You need that to happen at least once.
Oh,
Like,
you must have a broken heart, or
well,
else.
also that extreme. Guy had a girl ghost me once. She just disappeared. I'm like, what happened? Are you dead? And she
That's.
finally called me like after like 3 weeks. She was like, oh, it's not working out. And then she met somebody. I found out later. But
How hard is it to just have a, like, to speak the truth to someone? I don't understand people who ghost people or disappear. I know, you must clearly have some anxiety or mental health stuff going on, and but you would feel much better if you just always spoke your truth.
yes, but some people are not capable of that. I realize that in retrospect. Like, they've got their own messed up issues. It's never on you if you're being left in the dust. It's their psychological mess. And honestly, it's way for the better because you don't want to be with someone like that anyways, long term.
Oh, I dodged a bullet. Oil change has oil changed again on, his current situation, which is what prompted the apology to me. Perhaps he's finally seen a pattern in his life. I don't know. I wish nothing but the best for him. I like you, like we said, it actually, everyone needs to go through something like that because it did help me really have to reflect on my choices in significant others, as well as my reaction to situations, like nipping things in the bud.
That's where we're different. You leave me, you burn in your own bad decisions. I wish you nothing but the worst. Now, I don't wish him the worst, but I couldn't care less about how their future turns out. It's just like karma's a bitch, you
Well,
know?
I think I did think that way, Tharun, but I realize that you have to fully release these people in good. You have to see them as broken and want good for them. And then they fully leave you, like energetically or
Good for
spiritually.
them. Oh my God. Honestly, it was good for them.
Yeah, let me tell you the story of how oil change ended up reaching back out to me. I believe in, like, objects carrying energies, or like, you got to clear your house. So I was clearing my closet and I found this ring, and I was like, what is this ring? And it had a Buddha face, like a moonstone Buddha face, big silver ring. And I was like, I don't know, but I feel like I need to get rid of this ring. I couldn't remember like where it came from. I took the ring and I just threw it in the trash. I'm sure it is worth money. solid silver, and I threw it in the trash. And then, like the next day, I was like, "Oh my gosh, oil change had bought that for me." We were up in the mountains at this resort, and he had bought me that ring. And within 24 hours, I had an apology 15 years later from him. And I think there was something about the physical act of me throwing away this connection or whatever that ignited something into us connecting. And it was really good because I don't have to hold on to anything. I do really truly forgive him, and I really truly wish nothing but the best for him. And I feel at peace doing that. And it gives me back the control. If you're wishing bad on someone, then they still have some kind of control over you and your emotions, that they spark a negative, even just sparking a emotion. So I'm like, I'm good. I'm clear.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have control over me, but they're just erased. It's like they didn't exist.
Okay.
And I also redirect that into my own work, which is why I feel like I'm very motivated. It's like, well, the time I don't give you, I'm putting into my own myself. I'm reinvesting it. And again, but I also think that very valuable experiences. That's why, like, when I see like these simp dudes out here in Hollywood just like putting women on pedestal, I feel like they're wasting their time. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Just put it in yourself, like chase excellence.
I like that. You should always, always put the time into yourself first.
Yeah, guys or girls, you know, like I'd feel like, but then again, look, like you said, you were looking for a husband. I know it's a different thing, biological clock, family. Like, look, I'm sitting here with a
Well, that's what scared oil change. I was ready, but he didn't know how to let me down, so he just went for an oil change.
And he was at 3,000 miles with his car, so he was in a tight situation.
That's a good point. Yeah, the car need it was, it needed help. That Mercedes dealership in Beverly Hills is far from Silver Lake. 15 years far.
Is that how we started off the apology? By the way, it was very far. I had to go over the
Traffic.
traffic.
Traffic on Wilshire is tough.
Oh, every day you reevaluate life, going through traffic. But look, pros and cons in life. You got to pick and choose your battles.
If you live in LA, you accept traffic.
Yeah, or you just time out your day so you leave at like 11 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock before traffic starts to set in.
Yeah.
There's a great quote, which, I think we should wrap this up, but I think it's Betty White, and she was on the red carpet, and they were like, Betty, any advice to anybody coming to LA? And she goes, take Fountain. She keeps walking.
That is the best advice always.
Isn't it?
Mountain, yeah.
Not get headshots, not live your dreams. Take Fountain. That alone will change your life if you come to
That
Los Angeles.
is just practical advice that will change your life. And when you discover Fountain, you'll see why.
Yeah, basically Fountain's this street that runs parallel to Sunset, so you can bypass a lot of traffic. But Shazia, great talking to you as always. I hope you get your audition.
Ooh, thank you. Yes, please watch me on the Mo Show.
That or the Joan Collins bio movie.
Dynasty remake.
Yeah.
I'll
All
take that. I'll take it. All right. Bye, guys. Bye, Tharun.
right. Make sure to follow us if Shazia's, or send Shazia a fan mail.
Please do. I'm on a social media fast.
All right. Good seeing you, Shaz. Bye.
Bye.